Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, and thank you for tuning in tonight. It's Sunday, October 27, 2019, and I'm Tanya Hathaway with Tanya Talks, where your voice is heard and your story is told on Marty Oakley's PS Radio Network. As you know, you can listen live, 917-388-4520, and about halfway through the show, about 45 minutes in, we are going to be inviting callers. So 917-388-4520 if you wish to speak with myself or James Treat, who is co-hosting again with me tonight. James Treat is a whistleblower from Calvin, Oklahoma. Many of you have heard of him. Then please press the number 1 as soon as the system picks up if you wish to call in and speak with us. Otherwise, you are likely listening to KLRB 89.9 FM out of Stuart, Oklahoma. Thank you so much, Stephen Burke, for all the hard work and the ministry and for allowing this Christian radio station to be a forum where people's voices can be heard, and we are working together not only to share their voices, but to solve problems. And that's a very important part of this. It's just not, and I'm not suggesting that that's what any of us are doing, but it's not just a place to vent, although, gosh, I go on my little vent here and there, but it is a place where we're gathering information, we're sharing information, where we're putting together information to solve the problems on a local level as well as on a state level. Because none of this would continue to happen if the oversight committees were doing their job, if the state was truly managing self-regulation in accordance to our constitutional law and following the law, right? Nobody is immune. Public servants that we like to respect, we want to have respect for, are there for us. And we want to honor them by calling them mayor or councilman or attorney general, so on and so forth. But, but that doesn't mean that anybody is more important than you, me, your neighbor. Actually, I think the victims of the public corruption are more important, so I'll take that back, than these malfeasants that go about their business and don't blink an eye and watch other people suffer. Okay, so neither myself, Marty Oakley, Stephen Burke, James Treat, none of us are personally nor professionally liable for any errors in content that is shared by ourselves or by other guests. But that being said, we will certainly correct something that has been wrongfully stated in error or otherwise. And certainly we do vet. We vet our guests. We vet the information that comes through. Nothing is 100% bulletproof from getting through that might not be the perfectly accurate information. Nothing is, you know, we don't always get the information as perfectly as we want to, but down the pike, it can come out. Normally, we get the correct information. Normally, we get what we need to go forward, and it's been double and triple checked. You know, I just last week, I found out that somebody who I felt would be a good addition to a matter that I'm working on, well, several of us are working on, this is outside of the Hughes County area, that, you know, her husband definitely is in a particular prison where there's lots of corruption going on, but this is not the person that we want to stand up beside, because he's actually part of the gangs and part of the problem. But the wife was just a little bit upset because he actually got hurt this time. So you know, we have to be very careful how we lay out the information. We just found out this week that in Wetumpka, which we've been covering and we're going to talk about tonight as well as what the heck is going on in Calvin, that we thought that the city manager had resigned. Apparently, he had tried to resign several times, and he has yet to actually resign. Apparently, he has been talked out of it. And that there was word that he was wanting to resign again just this past week, but he has not resigned. So that information was probably right that he was trying to resign, but he has not resigned. We'll go into that a little bit more. And again, I welcome personal messages during this show, people that are directly involved with these situations and are updating me with information, screenshots and documents and whatnot. But James Treat, before I bring you on, I just have to say hi to my mom. Hi, Mom. Love you, Mom. Go easy out there, Mom. It's getting colder, okay? She gets out there and she does her daily gardening, and it's amazing. And I can only hope to God that the genes are within me to be as amazing as she is. And just she's very hardy. She's a very hardy woman, and she knows what's good for her and how to keep herself healthy at the age of 89. Balance. So hi, Mom. James Treat, I'm so glad to have you here with us tonight once again. And I'm aware that there's some more crazy that's happening in Calvin, Oklahoma, and you have plenty to share. Like, there's fires that are popping up here, there, and everywhere. And I did have an opportunity to get a quote from the chief of police, Joe Chitwood, in Calvin. Of course, he is very, very close to the vest, as what needs to be taking place. And I'll share that. I might as well share that with you right now. And then we'll double back, and then James, you can get in to what's happening there and all these fires that are being lit up in Calvin, and one that's like very close to where you are. So Joe Chitwood, the chief of police, former chief of police of Wetumpka, but current chief of police in Calvin, Oklahoma, said, We've started our investigation and extra patrols, and so you can't really say much. We are gathering information. So we're gathering information. So, you know, this is a guy who's going to keep information close to his vest, whether he has it or not. I definitely believe that he is gathering information, because he certainly did that for Wetumpkins. And hopefully that will help help rid Wetumpka of some of their problems during this investigation with the OSBI. James, how are you? And how did you find out about these fires, other than one was in smelling and visual distance, I imagine?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you this evening?
I'm great. I'm great. Just glad to have you back on, and you're amazing with all the work that you've done and been doing, and how you've continued to put yourself at risk. But you know, there's something that I did share on the promo for this show is, you know, what I'm finding is, you know, from speaking with you and others, and speaking with others from Wetumpka, is that, you know, now for you in Calvin, like, it was okay, for some reason it was okay for your personal effects to be lit on fire, because it appears that people knew who did this to you, and it was only you, right? You're the troublemaker, right? Which many people obviously don't feel that way anymore, but then there's the good old boys and the extension of them, that as long as it's you, nobody's too worried about it, because they know that it's a contained situation. But now that it's not contained, we've got all these fires lighting up all over the place, and now it's not contained, people are starting to become a little bit worried. And so that's a little bit of a turnaround, and they want to see things, you know, these issues resolved. And they don't like that eerie feeling of not knowing who's really doing it. Well, and the same thing I feel is really happening over in Wetumpka, where, you know, some of the steadfast Wetumpka supporters with the new mayor, J.J. Jackson, that they're having a hard time retracting their support for him. But just about every day, every moment, every week that goes by, there's something new, you know, like nominating themselves, him and his wife, to be reserve police officers, you know, gun-wielding maniacs, in my opinion, very unstable, in my opinion. And a lot of these shows, you know, lend credence to that statement. So if anybody's interested and who has not been following up on these shows and is not aware of the history with Wetumpka or Calvin, please feel free to go on Facebook, Injustice in Oklahoma Exposed, and message me, or also for updates, Journeys to Justice. Feel free to email me, Tanya Hathaway, at injusticeinoklahoma@gmail.com. So that's what I see. The correlation is that people are starting to not like this malfeasance that's going on. It's hitting a little bit too close to home. Wetumpkins that did support the change with the mayorship, they're really not happy about it, and many are taking 180s. Again, from Sucker Day to just last week what happened, and so on and so forth. So we need to really hone in on this. I was just advised we have listeners from all over the place tonight, Colorado, New Jersey, Wyoming, California, just all over the place. And that's nothing new, but we've got people that are calling in on the boards. So Marty can see this on the boards, that people are listening. There's a lot of things going on, I'm going to say one more thing before I give you the floor. We've got also another rally coming up in December, so you guys, you need to stay tuned, watch these pages that I just mentioned, and be well aware that it's going to be like a week-long rally, practically. There's three different rallies that are going to be happening within the week. You know, it'll be our second rally for wrongful convictions, our second rally for exposing public corruption that includes wrongful convictions, but other the many other venues of public corruption that do take place, and it is rampant in Oklahoma. I don't know one agency that is not engaged from the very top up to Mike Hunter, who none of this would be happening right now. None of this. If there was accountability. None of this. We got a new governor. Jury's out on him. The jury's out on him. We'll see. So, and then there's another, as well, there's another rally that's in particular for a specific person who is wrongfully imprisoned. I believe it is for the straw that broke, but I'm going to clarify that, and I'll be sharing more details because it's coming up right around the corner, folks, coming up right around the corner. So we're going to start asking for your support now to just pay attention, and in the future, specifically, ask for your support with volunteering and whatnot for these rallies. Okay. So, James, you as a public speaker at this inaugural rally, again, so grateful to have you here with us, and would like to hear what you have to say now.
Well, let's kind of give a little bit of history on this, just briefly about these fires. There have been 6 documented arson fires in Galvin, Oklahoma, in the last 14, 15 months. The first 2 of those was against my personal property, one on July of 2018, and then the other of July of 2019. And the last 4 in the last 4 weeks. Here in Calvin, Oklahoma. Now let's put this in perspective to Calvin. Calvin is a town of 266 people. Big, thriving metropolis that you have all this activity going on in. Well, let's don't speculate and let's don't assume, but I posted Facebook posts from the community out there on Hughes Info Facebook page for you to look and read on your own from some of the commentary of the people in Calvin. And it's quite amazing. Suddenly, these last 4 weeks, or the last 4 fires in the last week or so, suddenly have people concerned. Now it's dangerous. Now it's this. Now it's that. It's part of a curse. It's all kinds of things that are being thrown out there. This isn't my speculating. This isn't me and my opinion. Read it for yourself. They knew and know who set the first 2 fires, which was July of 18 and July of 19, on my personal effects. So it didn't really worry anyone. Okay, but now they really don't know.
These were just fires. We're talking explosions.
Right. But now we have people that's not really sure what's going on and who's doing it. And it's not directed at just one person. I think it's being directed or concentrated against one set of properties that ain't maybe owned by one individual, so they say, in their own Facebook post. And in their own Facebook post, they state that these properties were some of the properties that the town of Calvin pinpointed as public nuisances or eyesores, and so suddenly they're now being handled or taken care of. Well, that kind of goes back to the Robert Jones days of Calvin, Oklahoma. If he didn't like something, he just went and grabbed his backhoe, and he took care of it himself. Well, if we go back earlier this year, there's another home that was destroyed and burned in Calvin under the town sanction. Town employees were there, town equipment used to move the building around while it was burning, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, that's illegal in and of itself, but there was no asbestos permits or looking into if the building contained any and all of that. Just a way to get rid of what someone didn't want. So now we're back to the same mob-like activity, and it is mob-like activity, of these properties being handled this way. Well, I don't know that it really solves the problem of the unsightly and the unseemly aspect of them being there, because now you just have a big pile of molten and ash mess. It's still got to be cleaned up if it's going to meet the town objective of this town nuisance or public nuisance and abatement things they put out there, which was another fraudulent move on part of the town, because they went and took a set of documents they got from some city somewhere and tried to rearrange the wording to get it to say and do what they meant for it to do, but they still lack the same old thing. They do not know what due process is, the way that you do things. They have yet to conceive there's a way to legally go about doing something. So they just do it any which way they want to. Well, back to the point, though, we've got the fires. They're out there. They weren't permitted fires, as confirmed, and so they are now being investigated as arson.
Mm-hmm.
In a town of 266 people, it's even a little bit more curious. The town of Calvin, somebody operates a Calvin Voluntary Fireman Fire Department Facebook page. It's got all kinds of information of when storms come, helping out with nearby fires with Gertie and so on and so forth, and helping this and then looking for missing persons, all kinds of upkeep and update on that website concerning fire-related matters and even public safety matters of water boil, etc. But do you know there's not a single one of these six arson fires mentioned anywhere on that page in the timeline?
That's
I found that rather curious.
Right.
It's
like
public,
if you
people.
Know anything,
it happened.
You know, not even $100 reward, right? If you know anything about this, if you see anything suspicious, nothing to warn the public.
They gave no public notice of the events even happening.
Right.
But they certainly did in other little nearby fires, on other fires that they participated in, patting themselves on the back about.
Outside of Calvin.
But not anything within the town limits of Calvin, Oklahoma.
Right.
Just more secrecy. They do not understand.
Well, you know what? Let's face it.
When I say they, I'm talking about the mayor, I'm talking about the council, and I'm talking about who they quote-unquote appoint as their, quote, town supervisor. He's not a town manager. He's not a city manager. He can't be by the type of government we have. But when I say they, it's they still don't even discuss what is going on with the town finances in terms of dollars and dollars amounts. And I know I'm going to skip here, but this is going back, and it's a very important point. 210-211 financials for the town of Calvin. They had a $90,000 change in cash position. 5 days after that was publicly made public by myself, my truck was blew up in the street.
I'm just going to interject here. You can actually see those photographs. Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. You can see those photographs are certainly in the archives of my pages, but please look on Calvin Info pages or calvininfo.com. You can see, trace all the steps of what has been happening in that little town and the retaliation against James Treat. It has been outrageous, continues to be outrageous, and even now these fires insinuate, some people, you know, in the good old boys club, insinuating that, oh yeah, this is what James is doing it. James is doing it. Well, was James even in town when this happened? You know, and you just defeated some of these people in court there in Calvin. I see is the pattern that any time that you get away with something in a good way, where you're able to actually contain harm, where you're able to actually expose the people that are engaging in this, that they just continue trying to set you up. And, you couldn't have had anything to do with this stuff if you weren't there. Not that you did have anything to do with it anyways.
Well, when I'm referring to they, I'm referring to the mayor, the council members, and this one person that's hired, and he's the successor to his dad who thought he owned and ran the town. That $90,000.
Are you able to
give his name? It's Rex Jones. And Rhonda Tweedle is the mayor. Okay, but going back to the $90,000, just in the last 3 months, and let me back up and make this statement. Rhonda Tweedle is doing her best to cover the tracks of 20 years of her mother, Linda Bennett, being the town treasurer of Calvin, Oklahoma. Rex Jones is doing his best to cover the tracks of Robert Jones for the last 20 years while he was in town hall in Calvin, Oklahoma. It's pure and simple.
Yeah, that, okay.
It's that blatant.
Right. It's
so
that very blatant.
Let me go to the fact of this $90,000 cash position change. 8 years ago, that was the last set of financials the town filed, okay? The mayor, in the last 3 months, has asked the new treasurer, how's it going with the state audit? What have they said? Any problems? The new town treasurer repeatedly has said, no problems whatsoever. Town, the state says we can do this. We don't have to go back and do the old financials. We're doing just fine. They haven't found anything yet, et cetera, et cetera. I personally have been, the day after, sitting in the Oklahoma Audit Inspector's Office, the day after those meetings, to confirm that, and or phone calls on two occasions, to the main number three person there, is this so, was this said, and I'm told emphatically, no, that's not what was said. We cannot tell the town of Calvin what to do or not to do. We can't tell them it's okay to do this or do that in handling their affairs. We are simply there as a forensic audit to work with and look at the numbers we choose. If they choose not to go back and do their financials for the last 8 years, that's just a red flag. If you had a deficit at your bank account, you personally, you think you can just start all over and whitewash it with the bank as if it never happened? Well, the town of Calvin mayor seems to think you can just wash it all away, clean the slate, and start all over, and nobody has to know or nobody has to find out what happened to that $100,000 just in that one set of books. That's the size
of the cash. No bleach bit there. No bleach bit there. Don't mind me. But, you know, seriously, and that's just it. Like, in Calvin, they come in, they audit, right? But that's after the fact, I believe, you know, it was unannounced audits, but that's after the fact that who was it that was caught taking files out of there? And the same thing is happening over in Wetumpka. Files are leaving.
Linda Bennett was documented as to going in after hours and removing files.
Yes.
Period, paragraph. Before she resigned.
Please remind our listeners and let our new listeners know, just give a little bit of an understanding of where the nepotism lies in Calvin. Just quickly go through that, if you don't mind. Who's related to who?
Well, okay. If we go back just a couple of years, Robert Jones was the, quote, town supervisor, and Rhonda Tweedle was the town mayor, and Linda Bennett was the town treasurer. Linda Bennett is the daughter of Rhonda Tweedle. Linda Bennett and Robert Jones, there's numerous documentations of letterhead of representing the town as the city of Calvin for getting federal grants, which is fraud, representing the town as Town of Calvin Incorporated, which is fraud. It's none of the above. But the financials were filed under a previous mayor prior to Rhonda Tweedle. They had the loss. Not only did the CPA that was supposed to sign off on that set of financials not sign off on it, and all this paper and all this documentation is on calvininfo.com. You can read every page of the 32-page audit. The town CPA not only does not sign the audit, he writes a disclaimer to the audit and signs the disclaimer, saying that the town of Calvin cannot document any of their expenditures. The town of Calvin cannot most likely put their books together in any meaningful way as to any degree of accuracy as to where the money has went. So what do they do? What does the town of Calvin do? They just don't file any more financials with the state of Oklahoma. Back when they were a municipality and they were, quote, unquote, town of Calvin Incorporated, they just stopped paying their bills and they became what? Town of Calvin. Now, that's the size of
that. Yeah, so let's get down to this. You know, are they a town? Are they a city? Are they a city?
Well,
are they codified? Are they, I mean, what on earth are they? You know, look at their paperwork. What are
there are pictures posted on Facebook for your enjoyment. The town signs coming into town say City of Calvin. Calvin, in its entire history, going back to the early 1900s, has never had a census over 600 people. It could never have qualified by the legal definition of a city in the state of Oklahoma. Never. Not like a town close to Hartshorne that once upon was a certain population that dropped back and they maintained that status. Calvin never had a census over 600 people in its entirety.
And for our listeners, what does that mean? If it never had a census of both?
Well, it means they couldn't have been a city. And a city, whether you're a city, a town, or whether you're Tanya Hathaway or I'm James Treat, that is what would be known as your legal entity in a court of law. It would be your legal existence.
As a city or, right.
As a person, as a human-born person under the Constitution, or a fictitious entity created by law. City of Calvin does not, has not, or has ever existed legally. Now, the town of Calvin, Inc., once upon a time, did. But 6 years ago, when you went to the Secretary of State's website, type in Town of Calvin Incorporated, status forfeited. So that being said, you can't be who you're not. I can't pretend to be Tanya Hathaway and go sue somebody in a court of law. I can't be Tanya Hathaway and go write somebody a water bill. I can't be Tanya Hathaway and go operate a municipal court if I'm not a municipality. If I'm not incorporated, I can't operate a municipality.
Right.
But yet, as we started in the last show, I just had to appear in court in the great town of Calvin Municipal Court. Notice I said town of Calvin Municipal Court. The styling on the crime was City of Calvin versus James Treat. It should have been thrown out, never heard. That's besides the fact that there was no officer's signature on the complaint. There was no signed affidavit of the complainant. But better yet, better than anything else, the person making the complaint could not testify as to having seen anything in the complaint. It was a total, pure violation of due process and my civil rights to have to appear and defend myself against a fictitious suit by a fictitious legal entity.
And it's all retaliation anyway.
That did not exist.
Right.
And yet this town, and it's just geographically a town on the map, is operating what's called an illegal enterprise that benefits two people that draw a salary and accommodates a handful of people who want to think they have control over this little community. The town form of government, the town form of government is a five-member trustee form of government. Very, it's different than Wetumpka. Five-member board of trustees. That means these people are entrusted with the benefits and the operation of the town of Calvin. Much to their chagrin, they cannot give their authority to a town manager or a city manager or whatever it is they want to put on this little piece of paper that they think makes Rex Jones have the authority to, quote, run the town.
So as Rex Jones is not a compensated employee.
Yes.
Correct?
He is. No, he is a compensated employee. And that came about because Robert Jones, his father, was the mayor drawing a salary until it was learned and the state said, no, you can't be mayor, which is by statute, and draw a salary. So he resigned from mayor to become the town whatever, which was only approved for 1 year, so he could draw a salary and he could personally benefit as an employee. Right now, you've got them, and this was stated in a council meeting back under the term or tenure of Robert Jones, we hired you to run the town. Well, I'm sorry,
so he's,
council.
In a sense, he's a trust manager. Is that correct? He's a trust manager.
He cannot act on any managerial discretionary decisions. That is the function of the board of trustees. He basically can do what he's told to do, but he does not have the discretion to make managerial decisions.
Because
of the trustee form of government. Now, that contrasts with Wetumpka that has a city manager. He is as in that city of Wetumpka, the city manager is given full managerial control to hire and fire even the police chief. And the police
chief. And we know that city manager isn't the one doing the work. You know, we know he's a puppet to the mayor. So
But that's a totally different form of government. They are not, that council are not trustees.
Okay, then James, so who is responsible for the day-to-day operations in Calvin then? So who is telling Rex Jones what he needs to be doing?
The council should be. The council
Should
is responsible
so
for his actions, and his authority is only over the oversight of any town employees, which we don't have any full-time employees as of right now. So I'm told we have part-time employees that are called out on call, and there's reasons for that.
But other than the chief of police is full-time,
yes,
right?
But that he is not. He does not answer to Rex Jones in any shape, form, or fashion. In our town of Calvin, if it were legally correct, but they're operating as is, he, the police chief, reports to and is authorized by the council itself.
Okay.
Rex Jones, through the hierarchy of our form of government, cannot hire or fire him. And he does not have, the chief of police does not have any duty to report to that person.
Well, let me tell you something. Good old boy Robert Jones is very proud of Rex Jones right now. But more and more people in Calvin, Oklahoma, are not so proud of what's going on because now they are very concerned about these random fires now that they're not aimed at you, these fires that are keep popping up. How many in the last month and a half?
In the last month, safely saying, four separate fires.
And you know, as controlled as they might seem, these arsonists that are engaged in this, alleged arsonists. They've been deemed to be arson. It's my understanding, right? So
yes, the first one, July 18, was immediately deemed arson by the sheriff's department, which was an ex state fire marshal. One July of this year, 2019, was deemed arson by the ATF, and it's my understanding that the police chief in Calvin deemed these last four as arson after he investigated the scene.
Okay. Okay. All right. Do you know if he's called for outside assistance with this?
I cannot speak to that.
Okay. And that's something that I failed to ask. So, okay, we'll leave it at that. I know that
on
Joe
the July
is
night,
doing right by Tom.
On the July 19th fire, yes. The state fire marshal was reached out to, but did not respond because the scene had been left unattended. That's where the sheriff of Hughes County refused to secure the scene. It wasn't her job responsibility, and the fire marshal had left the scene, thus violating the chain of custody. The 2018 fire on the truck that was blown up, it was referred to the fire marshal, but he just confirmed the fact of, at that time, Cullen Fowler being an ex-state fire marshal, that's what it was deemed on the spot. After video was observed with the individual that set the fire, the procedure of him leaving the death threat notice, the procedure of him dousing the vehicle with gasoline and lighter fluid, setting it on fire, and running from the fire totally aflamed, they deemed it arson.
Right. Okay. Okay. So I have somebody who's messaging me trying to understand your the form of government there in Calvin, and I'm imagining that if you can clarify this just one more time for the listeners, okay?
Okay.
If they don't have a city manager form of government, then they must have a strong mayor form of government.
No, you've got one below. You have the one down below, the very basic of them all, which is a 5-council-member board of trustees.
Okay.
Of which it was originally set up that you had 4 wards and 1 at-large, and that being a 1A or 1B, I don't remember the form of government it was, that was supposedly changed somewhere in the interim there to a different form of government, either the A or the B, of which there's no documentation that that was ever done at the courthouse, which would mean that we don't have any illicit, well, let me back up. Every council member we currently have is illegitimate because they weren't properly voted in because of the form of government that's not registered at the courthouse. But back to your question, 5-member trustee form of government. Trustee being the key word. They have a fiduciary responsibility for the town and the town's assets that is greater than that of their own oversight of their own money.
So
the
duties of
hiring the police chief fall to them and their vote. The hiring and firing of any employee goes to them and their vote. I'm talking about from the trash helper to the trash truck driver to the town supervisor to the police chief requires the town council vote.
Now, is the mayor is serving...
Is a ceremonial council member appointed by the council itself. You have 5 members. They just determine amongst themselves who's going to be the mayor.
So the mayor is not a trustee.
Yes, the mayor is a trustee. None of the 5 people have any more power than another. They all have equal representation. The only thing in Calvin is we don't have equal representation because the council members were not voted on and put into office by each of the wards that they're supposed to represent, and we don't have a council member assigned to us, depending on where we live, in our ward to take things before the board.
Which means that your voice can't be heard. So now then, except for you can have it heard here. Okay, so, and going forward, we know there's more happening. So the town supervisor was appointed
he was hired. He's an employee.
Right.
Nothing more than an employee that supervises other salaried people hired by the town.
Okay, and who are those other salaried people?
You have the town clerk and the water clerk, which are one and the same, and one and the same as the town treasurer. Then you have, we currently have a trash truck, which somebody has to operate and drive the truck, and somebody has to be a helper to help operate the truck and making the pickups, etc. We still have a part-time person that is supposedly performing the function of checking the water and the water status to the DEQ. And that's a whole other story when and of itself. And to me, that's the only known employees that we've had over the last 7 years.
Okay, so the town supervisor is kind of like the city manager?
No, you cannot think of it as a city manager in any shape or form.
Okay.
He is supposed to be told what to do on his work agenda by the town council.
Gotcha. But now,
if he needs money to fix a vehicle, he is to go get a purchase order from the town treasurer.
And it needs to be approved by them.
Right. But he is actually on the checkbook, it's my understanding, right now. Which
he has control of the checkbook.
Well, I'm not sure right now whether they require two signatures or not. They used to require two signatures, but it shouldn't be.
Okay.
That's a very, very, very gray line. But he, of all people, and any person operating any city vehicles should be filling out mileage logs and mileage, which they don't do, and what the new town treasurer refuses to do, because she was told in the very beginning of taking that position that's something that needed to be done, because any benefit derived from either the use of gas or use of vehicle is compensation to that employee.
Okay.
And it's due and reportable to the state as well as the federal government, which they don't
do. Oh, sure,
because
if Calvin, Oklahoma is doing, if Calvin is doing the right thing by their citizens, then there's a mileage log, then we have deductions, and, you know, correct. I mean, the city people, the residents of Calvin need to know where the money is going that they collect. You know, where is the money going?
And by the same token, the town supervisor was driving a police department vehicle with a decal over the side that covered up police department, but it's got operational red and blue lights, which is a misallocation of town assets for that person to even be driving that vehicle, but no mileage logs, no anything, and that vehicle was seen all over the county at different times of day or night driving the wheels off of it. Well, now that vehicle has been turned back over to the police department, and with the verbiage, well, let's make sure we get that all transferred over and all right the way it's supposed to be. Again, covering tracks or trying to cover tracks, it should have never been used by the quote-unquote street department to begin with. But the million-dollar question goes to, well, this new vehicle that came out of nowhere that Rex Jones is now driving, it's not even marked as a town vehicle yet. Now, we can go get decals to put our name on the front door with a fraudulent title, and we can sit at the council meeting with the council as a fraudulent appearance, but we can't put a decal on the side of that vehicle that says it's the town of Calvin because of fear of where it's going to be seen, like in Hovenville at 9 or 10 o'clock at night, or. And that's why, if you'll go back and look at the documentation that was put online on Hughes County Facebook of the pictures of the truck and the Facebook activity associated around taking the pictures of them using the vehicle and the capacity that they were using them and all of that mess, they don't want to be accountable for anything, and it is infringing on their rights for you to take a picture of them in a town vehicle abusing the town expenses and dollars in operating that vehicle. But it's an inconvenience. It's harassment.
Right.
No people, That is making them accountable. That is protecting your dollars that should be going to fixing the streets in town, getting the trash cans off of the main street, to having streets that are more than 12 feet wide or 10 foot wide where two cars could actually pass on it, or having somebody have their seat in a lawnmower mowing the right-of-ways to do the town's part of cleaning up the town instead of trying to get the town citizens to clean up the property of the town.
Right, right.
I mean, I could legally rip those documents to shreds, get me out of this little muni court, get me out of this little district court. They don't stand a prayer.
Right, right. Well, you know, I mean, what concerns me is, you know, that the manner in which you were brought to court, okay, obviously, you know, more than one time, you know, the selective enforcement with a
parking stripes and all that mess.
While we're on
due process, we can skip to Wetumpka, because a week ago, Friday night, 3 o'clock in the morning, I know someone that was stopped in the town of Wetumpka. They were stopped without probable cause. They were stopped without good probable cause. They were stopped when the officer told the young man, "You were stopped because you look suspicious. I was across the street and I saw you getting gas or doing whatever you were doing and you look suspicious." But then he said, "Oh no, I stopped you because your taillight was burnt out." Well, the taillight wasn't burnt out. It just had red tape over it where it had been broken. Now, the officer did find more than they allowed or did find marijuana in the vehicle and subsequently charged. But there's something wrong with that stop other than the probable cause. And this is right straight there to Wetumpka, because it's my understanding a different individual gave the stupid human tricks test other than the officer who actually signed the citation. And there was another law enforcement person on site that wouldn't participate in the stop.
Because that person knew that it was not the proper conduct.
I suspect that person knew good and well it was not a good stop.
Mm-hmm. So is it possible that that stop was made out of a direction from...
the stop was made by Stanley, the young man that just failed his CLEAP certification.
Okay.
Over in Wetumpka.
Okay.
And you know the story. If you wish to go farther into that, that's fine.
All right. Well, how old is Stanley?
I don't know. You'd have to look at the court documents from the other incident.
So he was, all right, so was he originally going to be the chief of police there and pending certification, and then there was another chief of police that is...
He was the interim acting chief of police,
right.
Unquote.
Yeah, right. That's an awful lot. That's an awful lot for... it's an awful lot to be put on the shoulders of somebody not CLEAT certified yet, and who of course wants, you know, to further his career. And if there was a stop that was made, it would be interesting.
The point being made there, though, is this is under the auspice of the new police chief.
Right.
This type of stop was made.
Okay. Okay.
Under,
right.
I believe his name was Joe Cooper.
Right. There's a new one. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But let me back up to the Calvin
and let's remind our listeners also the levity that is taking place right now with the mayor JJ Jackson, who is intervening, actually bringing himself to sites where stops are taking place, and in a sense, it's my understanding, giving direction to the police officers in certain circumstances with what to do and what not to do when JJ isn't a police officer. He's not even in the middle of cleat training. He has no training whatsoever, although himself and his wife have chosen to put themselves in position to be reserve officers for Wetumpka. Now, can Stanley carry a gun without being cleat certified?
Yes.
Yes, he can.
Yes, he can.
Okay. All right. Okay, go ahead.
I was just going to say, going back to Calvin, going back to people that have been a good ear to talk to, I want to give credit to David Smith, the state representative. He is scheduled to go to Wetumpka in the next foreseeable days to look in and listen to the complaints there. I can tell you he's been an open ear to both yourself and me. And we need to support him as much as we can. I will tell you this. I made a phone call to Senator Larry Boggs, which is not such a person to date. He's had 3 days to return a phone call, and I got the sole impression that he wouldn't, just simply by talking to his secretary and asked him what it was in reference to. And I said, public corruption. And you could just see the steel wall, the jail cell door lock. We're not going there.
Yeah, no, Larry Boggs is, in a sense, he's becoming, fossilized. That's not good for the district. I believe that's District 7. And please, anybody who's in District 7, and I believe the Hughes County is a part of District 7, pay attention to this. Make the calls.
These are people that are elected. David Smith was elected. He will take your phone call.
David Smith is unbelievable.
He will meet you. Call other people in your government and see what kind of responses you get. But these are people we elected. We elected Larry Boggs, but he's not there for us.
Well, just like JJ was elected, and hello, that's a rude awakening. So, okay. All right, now the people know, and more people, as we talked about, are doing 180s, just like with Calvin. They want to know what's going on with these fires, and obviously, it's not as though they're being ignored. We know that, which is a wonderful thing now. The fires are not being ignored. We've got a good police chief there now. We've got people that... are selfishly concerned about their own well-being and are when they weren't about yours, but are starting to see some light. Obviously, you have people that came to you when a bit of light was shed, and when your personal effects and your life was at risk, and you endured the explosions and whatnot. But now back to this stop in Wetumpka. Do you know
Let me go back to this in terms of the local level. We had Cullen Fowler for most of the year of 2018 as the undersheriff of the Hughes County Sheriff's Department. Say what you will. He wasn't born here. He wasn't raised here. He didn't care what your last name was. He didn't care who your family was or how much money you had. He didn't last very long because his views didn't quite match up with the sheriff's views. We had another gentleman in Calvin, Oklahoma, 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, Matt Kasbaum. Matt Kasbaum didn't really care what your last name was, how long you'd been here, or how much money you had. They managed to go ahead and get rid of him as well about 2.5 years ago. Well, we now have Joe Chitwood, which came from Wetumpka to Calvin. I don't know the man personally. I've had conversations with, but I do believe his intent is to do the right thing and do the right thing without prejudice or bias. Let's see how long he's allowed to do the job he was hired to do without interference. And people of Calvin, you need to support this man. Until proven otherwise, support him and don't let these five people on the council run him off because he stops the wrong person with the wrong last name.
Correct.
Wrong person gets found to be guilty on these fires with the wrong last name.
Mm-hmm.
Need to grow up, people. Need to grow up, town of Calvin. Join 2019. I have no clue how and why they managed to hire Joe Chitwood, other than maybe I guess they were trying to buy them some degree of respectability after Delbert Hardin's fiasco. I mean, a common thug that they brought in. And that's when you want to know when the fires began a second time is when he was not rehired. That's when the second fire took place on the trailer. And then subsequent to that, we've had the four trailer fires.
Wow.
So, point being, if you have any attempt at wanting a normalcy in Calvin, you're going to have to let and support someone who is trying and willing to do the right thing, regardless of what your friend or your neighbor comes and whispers in your ear. Y'all all came together as a town when you knew Matt was leaving. But why was Matt leaving? Matt was leaving because he tried charging Robert Jones with theft of town equipment, fire department equipment that got hush-tush, covered up, ran over, just like it didn't exist. Just like all the fires don't exist on the quote-unquote Calvin Volunteer Fire Department Facebook page. It's as if they
I'm going to repeat myself a little bit here. What I want to know is why the Calvin Fire Department is not asking for help in this situation. Is not, you know, why they're not saying this is what happened. I mean, maybe there's a good reason. Okay, maybe there's a good reason. But I'll just say, you know, Calvin, Oklahoma. You've got under 300 citizens there. And if you know something, if you see something, you need to say something. You need to get in touch with your chief of police, not the council members, the chief of police. Let him do his job to help protect your lives. Because one of these days, it's not just going to be scary. It's going to be tragic.
Well, it's not as if there was just one trailer burned that you could, it just got burned. Two, three, four. Folks, that's a problem. That's systemic. That's the way that they handled things 40, 50, 60 years ago with the KKK. That's how they tried to run me out of town. Blowing up my vehicle, and then it backfired kind of because they didn't get the public outcry and public support for what they did.
Right. So you're not actually like alleging anything, but you're drawing some parallels that actually should be considered to be suspicious.
I'm saying it's no accident, and it's not a happenstance occurrence. Any ordinary prudent, remember that word, prudent person would know better.
Mm-hmm.
And whichever faction knows, I mean, somebody here knows. This town's way too small. They've kept secrets for years. Secrets for years. This didn't come up out of nowhere. It came up out of, these fires arose out of Rex Jones's push for going and getting his quote-unquote code enforcement certificate, which allows him to take a look at tall grass, high weeds, and dilapidated buildings. That he's going to, even though he doesn't even live in town, he's going to make the citizens of Calvin clean up town property. And if he doesn't like a particular property and he thinks it's an eyesore, he's going to get rid of it. They came up with this public nuisance thing, and then voila, here we have these four fires.
Okay.
These last four fires.
Okay.
That's not happenstance.
Yeah. Okay.
That wasn't a flip of the coin.
Right. No. It's not. It's all a pattern. It's all a pattern. So I'm receiving verifications that that the city manager actually had in Wetumpka now, that the city manager actually had attempted to resign again. Of course, we all do know that if you want to resign, you don't just have to attempt. You can actually just resign.
Just don't show up.
That's all you need. You just put in your 2 weeks or whatever. You know, it's the right thing to do, okay? It's just resign. You don't need to wait until the mayor, who shouldn't be a part of your hiring city manager in Wetumpka, you don't need to wait for him to approve a darn thing. So we've got to remember who is responsible for what is going wrong in Wetumpka, just as who is responsible for what is going wrong in Calvin. So we have a chief of police that's not turning their back in Wetumpka, right? We know that. Forgive me, in Calvin, we know that. It would be helpful if it wasn't such a small town and the good old boys are covering up for everybody. But, again, we've got the townspeople are very concerned because in a little area like that, all these fires that are taking place, it's affecting people. They're seeing it. They know what's going on. They're scared. Okay? I don't care how good of an arsonist you are and that, you know, you think you're containing these issues, but they're propane tanks. There's oil.
Well, but there was no effort made to contain. It just happened to be fairly wet, rainy weather.
Okay. All right.
There was no attempt at containing anything.
Okay. So now here we are. We're back in Wetumpka, and we have a city manager that's resigning or trying to for a reason. And DJ, all you need to do is resign. Because let me tell you something, things are happening now where you are being implicated. The mayor isn't necessarily, JJ isn't necessarily on the top line of the page anymore. He's there, all right. He's definitely there. But you are the city manager. You, DJ, are the city manager. You are the one who actually maintains the oversight, who is in charge of the oversight of all of these venues, which we believe that you are not overseeing, but the mayor is with his hired guardianship daughter, Autumn Jackson, who's receiving a paycheck outside of the city payroll to assist you, TJ?
Tanya, let me make this one point.
I just want to make this clear to our listeners that they know that the city manager, known as DJ, Don Jett, is the city manager because the council voted him in. And big mistakes have been made. City manager is publicly known as a drunkard. And I'm sorry, Don Jett, but that's what you're known as. That is what you're known as. You're known to quickly leave the city town, the city hall when there's a phone call coming into you. When someone's going to ask something of you, you are known, Don Jett, to deprive a family of water because of helping them out to get their water because you supposedly, through a third party, or directly, I'm not sure what that is exactly, relay to that family that it must be a problem from the city line up to your house so that the city is not actually responsible for the issue because you know that property so well. Well, is that really what it turned out to be, Don Jett? You couldn't even put the drink down and go try to help the family? Or send somebody over there to help this family? And
let me
Autumn,
say something. Let me say something definitively
about this. Autumn won't take phone calls after 9 o'clock at night when you've got a family, young people that are left without water that could very well be the responsibility of the city. And even if it wasn't, doggone it, even if it wasn't, act like you freaking care. Act like you care. Act like you care. What's wrong with these people?
Let me delineate the city manager over there. His position, if he is operating on a daily basis within the code or the ordinance book and within his budget, he does not need to confer with the town council about anything on a day in and day out basis. Let me restate that. If he's operating within the code or the ordinance book and he's operating within his defined budget as approved by the council, he does not have to communicate, correspond with, or respond, answer to the council about his actions. That's how much authority he has. Versus the town of Calvin, it's the town board, which has to operate within its own budget and delegate anything that they need to be done. Two separate deals, but that's the difference.
Okay, but who's operating? Who's really operating?
Well, we know that JJ is running the show.
Feel free to call in, listeners. I want to interrupt this just for a moment for two different things here. Number one, we are welcoming callers. 917-388-4520. Please press 1 when the system picks up. 917-388-4520. Press 1 when the system picks up. I know that we have had an abundance of callers in the past about this subject. We just heard you got that right. He only answers to Autumn, who has the same wedding band on that his own wife has. This is JJ. So, the person answering to Autumn is actually the city manager, Don Jett, is what it's believed to be, because after all, she's the one who was hired by the mayor and his wife to be his personal assistant, who is driving city trucks, city vehicles, who is barking out orders to people that work for the city in the water department, and more. We've got, I believe, a 20-year-old girl. A 20-year-old girl has appears to have much more authority. What? Okay, here we go. We've got somebody saying, what kind of a man answers to a snot-nosed little girl? I know, the dim-witted, drunkard kind. You know, listen, that is what the citizens of Wetumpka is thinking of the administration in Wetumpka. Verified that you have to be bonded. 21 years old, you have to be bonded. You have to be 21 years old to be bonded in the state of Oklahoma. Autumn is not bonded. She is a risk. She is a risk. Not to mention, what I believe, a victim of JJ and Rebecca Jackson. And very much engrossed in Stockholm syndrome with them, as they have had guardianship over her for many, many years, and she's alleged to be a victim of sexual misconduct engaging her, which is, you know, obviously been going on for a very long time, allegedly. Bad history there. Bad history there, folks. Bad history. Do we want a mayor and his wife to be nominating essentially themselves to be reserve police officers? Do we want that? Is that even in the ordinances that you can do that? No, it's not. No, it's not. And yet they're doing it. Autumn, who they've had guardianship over for many, many years, is running the city more than the city manager is running the city. There's so much risk here. The city manager can be held personally liable. And why is that? That is because the city manager is beyond the realms of his appointed duties. And that can hold him personally liable. His appointed duties, you know, it's just like a horse. You have blinders on. This is what you need to do. You have blinders on. This is your job. Do not stray from your job, then you put your city at risk. No acts as a city manager and no non-acts should be putting the citizens of Wetumpka at risk. Therefore, working outside of the parameters of your job as city manager holds you personally responsible. You're not immune, Don Jett. You're not immune. Resign now. You're in way over your head. Why do you want to do the dirty work for JJ? Why is Autumn doing the dirty work for JJ? We think you know that already. But DJ, are you really willing to do the dirty work for this man who says, I, quote unquote, I am Wetumpka? His wife is doing this dirty work as well. Watch her at the meetings. What are we going to do about this? DJ, step down yesterday. Step down. Come on the right side of justice and let this city know what justice is. Let them find their way back to normal and even better than that. DJ, you got to step down because you have implicated yourself, whether you know it or not. People don't want a pervert running their town, quote unquote. People don't want a pervert running their town. And they're referring, DJ, they're referring to the mayor. But see, the mayor, through his daughter, is running the town more than you are, DJ, because she's your assistant who's really...
Marty, this is James. I lost Tanya. Okay, listeners, I am told by someone listening that you can hear me, but we lost Tanya. Hopefully she'll come back on. Unfortunately, in Wetumpka, even if DJ does step down, you're going to have to be careful as to the council, because we know the council is stacked as to who they hire and who they would want to put back in there. Tanya,
James,
back?
No, this is
yes.
Marty.
Go to the
she hasn't come back up yet. But I don't know what that was. But what I'm wondering is, why can't you bring in, isn't there a state investigative unit, is something that would come in and see what's going on there?
The only, other than some information that I received about a senator and about a state rep and in relationship to a grand jury, the only thing that, or the most practical scenario, is the Oklahoma Audit and Inspector's Office. But they have zero enforcement power. All
okay.
they can do is make a list of all the wrongdoings and the particular
okay.
different areas and what other, whether it's the Department of Labor, whether it's the Treasury, whether it's, criminal prosecutions, whatever it is, they make out the list of what's
right.
wrong in the town, because that's what the audit is. It's not just about the numbers. It's about how they conduct their open meetings. It's about their minutes to the
yes.
meetings. It's about their compliance with open records requests. It's about all of that. All they will do is take down and make the whole laundry list, and then they will start giving out referrals to the different departments within the state of Oklahoma to investigate.
Okay.
If they choose to do so, they don't have to. But if they choose to make the criminal referrals either to the state AG or to individual departments of other agencies and or the FBI, it's then those departments or those entities that would have the enforcement ability against the wrongdoings.
Okay. It just seemed odd to me. All of this is going on. It's well known. And especially now where you're dealing with what appears to be arson, that there would be some state agency would step in here or some, you know what I'm saying? It just seems odd to me that this is allowed to keep rolling when
well,
it's
I would
so
say,
very... Go ahead.
I would say that since it's got to the numbers of occurrences that it's reached, it has now got to be or would be on the radar of a federal agency.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, that's what I'm
thinking. It gets to be the point where enough is enough, and if local and state won't or can't handle it or don't see it as an issue, that other agencies would say, whoa, we got something else going on here, folks.
Yeah, yeah, because this is just too wide open. It's just too blatant. There's just too much happening here that should not be happening, and there's so many violations of municipalities and, you know, the code for municipalities, all these things. It just, I don't know. I've just never heard anything like this. Tanya, are you live again?
I'm here. I'm here.
You're there. You
are. Me.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
As long as you can hear me.
You couldn't write a book this good, Marty.
I'm telling you, you couldn't. This is like something somebody wrote in a novel. And, you know, your immediate thought is, well, this is bad, but it couldn't really happen. But here it is happening. To tell you the truth, after listening to these interviews that you and Tanya have done, I'm concerned for you. I'm worried for you, for your safety. I truly am.
Well, that's being expressed to the different levels. Now, does that buy you a cup of coffee? Maybe, maybe not. But I'm just as real as the next person. I've got a son. I've got four grandkids. And I'm standing up for right and wrong. And if the rest of these people think that they are somehow entitled because that's the way it's been, no, this is about righteousness. This is about right and wrong. Just because you're my neighbor doesn't mean I have to accept what you do, even though it's wrong, because you're my neighbor. You're still wrong. And if you commit a crime, you need to go to jail. But that's not the mentality in Oklahoma. We have people that we know steal every day. Go to court, get out, go back and do it all over again. Same person gets arrested for drugs, goes in, gets out. Revolving door.
Holy cow.
Yep, you pay the fine. And then if you don't pay the fine, then there's debtor's prison, which of course are illegal, but they're still there. They're still in Oklahoma. Why? Because they've been getting away with it, and as long as they can get away with it, and they're more and more blatant with their crimes upon the people, that now there are people like us that are collecting the data, and we need more people that are willing to do that, and not just men, but also become a part of this data collecting and collaboratively continue to put it in this in one place where it'll go forward. And really, I mean, my genuine belief is that this has to be taken out of Oklahoma, because we've got the highest powers in Oklahoma that are not even looking at judicial RICO when it's right in front of their face, okay? We've got the highest powers in Oklahoma that are not even enforcing district attorneys that are supposed to be investigated. And hence you have Chuck Sullivan napping in the men's room at his job, doing pretty much what he does is, you know, what works for him. Okay. He's a district attorney of Pittsburgh County, I believe. This is not just one issue. This is happening. Not every district attorney is horrifying, but unfortunately, more often than not, in Oklahoma, they are. Same things with
Larry Boggs.
This is happening to our children in Oklahoma, where children are being farmed out to abusive foster homes. Why? Because they are making money. You've got agencies that are making money. The same thing with wards of the state. Yeah, I'm not saying there aren't good things that happen to help these people out, but we have elderly people whose trusts have been hijacked. Hello, Tulsa. Through judicial RICO in that court, and these people are still there, some of them are. We have young children that are victims of pedophile parents that are being put with them or in foster homes that are abusive. They're dying. I want to say something else
on behalf of Joe Chitwood, just here locally in Calvin. I mean, it's really pathetic that you have a bunch of grown people that will get together and go gossip at the coffee shop and talk amongst themselves about everything that's going on, yet they won't pick up the phone or they won't go visit the police chief. even something that they may not even think is important, it might be if they would tell the right person.
Okay, listen, I've got to close this out. We've got 30 seconds. I just saw. I want to remind Wetumpkins, and we've got, unfortunately, we didn't spend a whole lot of time on this. Wetumpka, Autumn Jackson will turn 21, and she can be bonded, and she can actually become city manager come January. Okay, she'll be 21. Is that what you believe should be happening? Nepotism at its best / worst. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Thank you, James Treat, for your incredible service to Calvin and Hughes County as a whistleblower, as a friend of mine and a friend of many. Thank you very much, Joe Chitwood, for doing what you're doing, and for the people of Wetumpka and Calvin standing by what is right. Tune in next Sunday, same time. Thank you, Marty Opie. Thank you, Stephen Burke, KLRB. 89.9 FM. Thanks, Mom, for listening. God bless. Thank you, TS Radio Network. And thank you, whistleblowers, Marcel Friedman. This is all done in coordination with the Whistleblower Summit that happens every year in Washington, D.C. God bless everybody. Good night. I'm Tanya Hathaway.